last word on the environment on Today FM.
With ESB Networks, connecting you to a clean electric future. ESBnetworks.ie.
The Kunming Declaration, is that something from Korea?
No, it's actually from China, Matt. This is the UN's COP, is the Conference of the Parties 15. Now, this is a sort of a parallel process to the climate one, which we've got the conference coming up in Glasgow
COP
next 26.
Month.
COP 26. So COP 15 is basically, it's a parallel but separate process. And what this process tracks is biodiversity. So
what do you mean by biodiversity?
Yeah, okay. Biodiversity is a shortened name, and it was only actually invented in about 1985. It's quite a new concept. It's the shortened version of biological diversity. So basically, it's all the squids and creatures on the planet. I mean, for example, who knew there's 400,000 species of beetles there and about? Just so basically, subspecies and species, separate species of beetles. So within our planetary system, we have unbelievable diversity. Now, there's a really good reason for that, because diversity gives resilience. Because things happen, meteors strike and climates change, we have ice ages and so on. So huge biological diversity is nature's way of beating the system. So if one part of nature goes down, if this species is under attack, or if some predator outwits it, there's always something else to take over its place. So what we've seen over the process really of a billion years of evolutionary history is the explosive increase in biodiversity. Now, that was all up to a point.
Yeah, didn't that come to an end effectively with the Industrial Revolution?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that the starting point for a reversal of the biodiversity divergence?
Okay, if it actually goes back a lot further, really goes back probably to the end of the Ice Age, really since humans started getting organized maybe about 5,000 years ago. But in terms of its intensity, two phases. Number one, the start of the Industrial Revolution. But when things really ramped up, it's about 1950 onwards. And that's a period called the Great Acceleration. That's where basically all our activities went exponential and have continued exponential. Now, this is, and of course, our emissions have gone exponential as well in this period. Now, essentially, over that time, humans, one species and all our support animals, we've pretty much sequestered the face of planet Earth. So there is, I think it's reckoned that there's 3%, Matt, of the land surface, the habitable land surface of planet Earth, that hasn't been in some way interfered with or degraded by human actions. Now, these are not intentional. It doesn't mean that humans set out to destroy nature. I think so much of it has occurred, if you like, as a byproduct or an accidental consequence of our extraordinary ability to dominate other ecosystems. And of course, this really took off once we managed to control fossil fuels.
Okay, now the Kunming Declaration is looking for a target known as 30 by 30. Effectively, that countries set aside 30% of their territory by 2030 to biodiversity. What does that mean for Ireland?
I was thinking exactly the same thing. In fact, I was scribbling some notes about that 30 for 30. It sounds great. Now, in Ireland, we have we have a limited amount of land that is not in, quote, productive use, right? So this would include, for example, mountains and national parks. We have some national parks, we have some mountains that are technically publicly owned. However, on almost all of these areas, including our national parks, are extensively grazed. So therefore, even within, for example, the famous Killarney National Park, that is heavily, from a biodiversity point of view, even our keystone national parks are heavily degraded. And this is something that ecologists like Padraig Fogarty have written about extensively, that when you go into these parks, what you're looking at is a kind of a green mirage. Most of the complexity, of the ecological complexity, is already gone from these areas, particularly because of the presence of grazers and herbivores.
I hate to tell you, but I had a very enjoyable Saturday afternoon playing golf in Killarney. But anyway.
Well, speaking of green deserts, golf clubs, go on with you.
Yes, but is there not, I mean, if we talk about 30% of our land, isn't farmed land, agricultural land, contributing to biodiversity?
In Ireland, mostly no. Our typical form of agricultural land these days is what's called monocultural grassland sward. That means basically single species sward for one purpose only, and that is to produce grass or silage to be fed as fodder to cattle. Now, from the point of view of wildlife, that is a biodiversity desert. So essentially, as you drive down the road and you look out to the left and right on your way back from your golf and you look at the green fields of Ireland, by and large, almost no wildlife can exist in that. Now, of course, we have hedgerows in Ireland. So where our wildlife is, if you like, are taking their last stand is in the hedgerows. Now, unfortunately, we're also losing hedgerows because in many cases, people are making bigger fields for bigger machines.
What about things then like that are becoming popular? Wilding, I think it's called.
Rewilding.
Rewilding. Yeah. A lot of people are leaving their gardens sort of grow out rather than been manicured. And I have to say, I know of golf courses where they've actually now are trying to allow sections where they are rewilding them.
Yeah.
Bit hard to get the ball out when it goes in there.
The rough is a little rougher, absolutely. The thing with rewilding is that it gives nature a chance. No human knows how to run and organise a natural system better than nature itself. And the problem, of course, is it's very difficult to reproduce a natural system. So, for example, most of the biodiversity loss that's occurred in Ireland, say since 1900, right, where we had, for example, extensive hay meadows. And those hay meadows supported a huge amount of biodiversity. They're, as I said, they're mostly gone now. They've been replaced by single cultural sward. So the lack of biodiversity is the key thing that is driving down our wildlife in Ireland. Now, of course, also, when you look at areas like rewilding, the problem is we also have the impact of pesticides and nitrates. And these are in the environment. They're in our environment extensively in Ireland and around the world. And they're basically pushing down the biocapacity, the ability of any biosphere to support life.
They're of course, there are people who will also argue that they're pushing down the price of food.
Of course they are. That's right. And I think one thing that always struck me as odd for Ireland in particular, because, you know, we could be a food island, is that only, and we've talked about this before, only 2% of Irish farmland is farmed organically. 98% is farmed with the assistance of chemicals. Can you imagine?
But it has to get a greater output, isn't
it? Well, it
isn't.
And get
greater income for the farmers.
Well, in fact, the argument goes that many organic farmers, particularly ones, say, producing oats, are doing better. And the reason, Matt, of course, is that their inputs are lower. What matters to any business person, farmer or anyone else, is the bottom line. And the bottom line is the difference between the price you get and the inputs that you pay. And what you find now are many farmers who have intensified. They're told, they've been encouraged by the co-ops and so on, I won't call them co-ops, the PLCs. They've been encouraged to intensify, produce more, right, get paid less for it. What they're finding, Matt, especially now, is with fertiliser prices rising, with input prices rising, with diesel prices rising, what they will tell you is the high input version of agriculture is less profitable. What matters in business is profit, not turnover.
Yeah, but a lot of the money the farmers get as well is through the Common Agricultural Policy. And isn't that actually a lot of that linked now to the care of the environment as much as to the output of food?
Well, it's supposed to be. But what we found here in Ireland, for example, is that our own Department of Agriculture has been chiselling away at the amount of land, for example, that is supposed to be farmed in a way that is more sympathetic, if you like, to nature. So we have a situation here where, as I said, our own Department of Agriculture is actually fighting against.
OK, one final thing on this. If we had a more biodiverse country, what benefits would we get out of it?
I think the main benefits that we would get out of it is we would have much greater resilience in our natural systems. And what I mean by that is, I went back to where I started from, Matt. We have, you know, there's a reason for complexity in nature. There's a reason for all the multiplicity of species. We have simplified those through pressures. When you relieve those, you get back abundance. With abundance, you get resilience. We're heading into really difficult times ahead in terms of drought, in terms of flooding and so on. The best form of protection for all our incomes and for our futures is a resilient natural system that doesn't collapse under pressure. The danger with biological simplification is it leaves entire ecosystems open to collapse. And it has to be remembered, Matt, that when the ecosystems go, we go with them.
John Gibbons, come back to us again next Thursday. But if the government has its carbon budget between now and then, join us and take us through that as well, please.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.